information to help you launch a business or be more successful in your current career. So let's get going. First up is Tammy Redman, a business growth strategist, coach, and consultant. Clients and friends alike describe Tammy as a team-centered leader and a passionate catalyst for transformation, authentic living, and renewal. Tammy is committed to exposing the power of possibility in individuals, organizations, and communities while building personalized growth strategies. Whether it's coaching an individual or an entrepreneur, empowering an organization toward cultural transformation, or developing business growth strategies, Tammy has the clarity to pinpoint desired outcomes, assess current obstacles, and define the strategy that best directs intention toward success. Say hello to Tammy Redman.
Okay, so I am so thrilled to be here, and I brought props, and it requires that I utilize some extra space. I'm glad nobody's sitting there. Y'all remember growing up, and you probably remember maybe your first day of kindergarten and that cool bag that you got. Anybody remember that? This is going to be participatory, so a nod or a, you know, help with your sister because it's Sunday. Come on now. Okay, so y'all were really excited to get that brand new bag, right? That brand new backpack, and you wore it with pride. Right? You slung that over your shoulder and you went off to school. And you were thrilled that you were the proud owner of a brand new backpack. Yeah? And then what happens? We get to school and we start collecting stuff. I remember when my kids were little, I'd have to unload everything out of their backpack every day. And there were rocks. Right? There were dead flowers. There were pictures that Johnny wrote to Susie because, you know, he really liked her, but my daughter's name wasn't Susie. Yeah, so we collected stuff in our backpack. We collected what people had to say about us, too. And our backpacks tend to get bigger over the years, and they get heavier. Oh, you've got glasses. You sure have four eyes now. Ooh, skinny, man. Look at your legs. They're like chicken legs. Oh, you're kind of round. I've been called all sorts of things growing up. And unfortunately, over the years, sometimes that stuff went into my backpack, and I never got rid of it. You know what I did? I just got a fun bag. I got a new one, because that one got full, so I strapped on a new one. So I could fill that with the stories, and the experiences, and the comments that other people made. Here's the tragedy. My shoulders got too big, got too heavy, full of stuff that other people wanted to call in all the experiences. So when I got a really cute bag, it was kind of hard to throw over all the other stuff that I kept collecting. We just keep adding and adding comments and thoughts that people, they put on us, they project onto us. We heard about fierce conversation. Well, I had some fierce fighting words thrown my way a time or two, and unfortunately, we kind of just get used to hanging on to it. And then the experiences, and we can have a whole lot of fun. We go off to college, and we create memories, and we add those into our bags. And we've got cute handbags to go with the cute shoes that are in our closets. And we probably have an association to something that happened. Why we bought it, what we put into it, or an experience that we had. So then we do things like we start a business. And so now we've got a bigger bag with all the other bags that we carry through life with us. And it's our experiences that, yes, make us rich as a human being, our potential increases, but they can also weigh us down. How effective am I going to be if I've got stories that other people said about me that I took on as my own personal truth, just kind of weighing me down and holding me back? I might miss an opportunity because I'm too busy juggling, trying to add more bags because I'm not actually getting rid of the stuff. I just add a new bag on. If I actually believed what everybody said about me, well, let's see, I wouldn't be standing in front of you today because I was told once upon a time when I was little and 9 years old, because Nancy Jetton, I have a 9-year-old story. You'll hear more about that from her. But I was told that, oh, you just like to talk. You just like to steal the microphone. Yeah, sometimes, because I have something I want to say, but that's not necessarily a negative thing. But if I internalize that as my own personal truth because somebody else had their opinion about it, I probably wouldn't be standing in front of you today. Instead, I turned it around, well, heck yeah, I like to talk. How can I use it? Because I think I have something pretty good to say sometimes. And I have a good business because of it. Not because I like to talk, but because I actually have used some experiences and taken some of that stuff out of the bags so I can start applying it in my life in ways that started to serve me as a business person. Anybody relate to that? You have to kind of go through the stuff. You know, we've all got stuff, right? Some people are pack rats. Anybody in the room? You cleaned out all that stuff and started to enjoy the experiences and then let it go. You make room for what? More stuff. More experiences. But the key is let go, clear out, get rid of. Make room, because now I can move freely, right? Come on now, come on. That's what I'm talking about. So you want to be careful what you fill in your bags. You want to be careful the stuff that you allow other people. I call it a filter. I work with leaders and teams all over the country. And I talk to them about what's your filter? What are you allowing in? What should you be filtering out? Because you don't want to take that on as your own personal truth. We can put limits on us because of other people's beliefs or other people's fears. And that can get in our way. So we're really wanting to thrive in any time and build that sustainability plan for our business. We have to be really key with who we are, what we were created for, what we're designed to do, and how that shows up every single day. Because when we stop, we run the risk of failing. We run the risk of letting people down that might work in our organization or for our company that need us to keep moving forward. When we allow the bags of our lives to not just look cute on the floor or to one look cute on our shoulder, but get filled with all the stuff because we haven't filtered well, we actually limit our ability and potential for greatness. That's my experience. As business people, we have a great opportunity in front of us. It's not about the doom and gloom. Y'all, I want you to, again, filter out the doom and gloom. Yes, that sells. Yes, unfortunately, we've built a reality TV society that can't get enough of what's reality. Well, I think reality is a little twisted, quite honestly. We show too much stuff that maybe we don't want to show. We want to filter that out and not necessarily believe it all. And I want you to be careful what you read and what you listen to. Again, that filter system is so important. Be careful. Other people's stuff. Oh, I have one bag still. Other people's stuff doesn't have to be yours. All right? Other people's stuff doesn't have to be yours. And that includes what the media is trying to tell us right now. Yes, it's tough times. Yes, we need to streamline our businesses. Yes, we need to look at things more creatively. Go for it. Blow the roof off this thing. Don't hold back because you're caught up in fear about what could be. Go forward and say, yeah, that's their truth. Yeah, that might be the truth right now. So how am I going to be creative? A creative savvy. Y'all savvy? Any savvy entrepreneurs in the room here? Nancy Jetton, are you a savvy entrepreneur? Come on, sister. Don't shout me down. A savvy entrepreneur, I was thinking about this on the drive up, a savvy entrepreneur is able to turn on a dime. The wind has changed. What do I got to do? I got to change and go with it. I might need to push against it a little bit to get to where I know I really want to go, but you got to be ready and willing to turn on a dime. Don't succumb to it. Be open to new things. Invite change. Stay fresh. Stay fresh. Put your people around you. You know, they say that a savvy entrepreneur, I say savvy, they say good entrepreneurs, I like the word savvy. The five people around you, you should have two above you and two beneath you. Why do you suppose that is? You're reaching up. You're constantly looking to, what are they doing that I can do different? How can I be better? How can I achieve my goals? Reach up. And then you're also reaching down with the other hand to help somebody else up. Pick people up. Pay it forward. Be willing. Be aggressive with how you contribute into other people's lives as a savvy entrepreneur. And focus on your success. That's a bad analogy. We can fill it with failures. We can fill it with fear and what other people have said about us. Be willing to let it go so that you can be the exquisite person you were created to be and take total care of yourself as a businesswoman or man. You gotta look at how you can be creative so that you can focus on where you're going, not the failures of the past. Acknowledge them. Yep, they happened. What am I gonna do different? Turn on the dime. The affirmation process is one I use with my clients all the time. You affirm where you're going. Set the visual. Young Christina, don't ever apologize for winning. Right? I was just talking with her about what she was, she's getting her cast off in a week. She's been trying to get her business started, and then she broke her arm snowboarding. The girl went out to have a good time, and she broke her arm snowboarding. Slowed down her business progress. So focus where you're going. Have you used the 6 weeks that you've been recuperating to build your plan? Yeah. Been thinking about it. Okay. So you're constantly looking at what's coming, what's to come, where am I going, what's next? Build your plan, put your steps in place, affirm it. I'm going to be, I have a robust online business by the end of 2009. That's my goal. So now I've backfilled to what that looks like each step of the way. All right? Affirm it. It's just like me to have a robust online presence with my business. I say that to myself all the time. That's my affirmation. And I'm putting the steps in place to get there. Our minds, Albert Bandura said this, our minds will not see what we do not believe we can achieve. If we are filling our bags, ladies and gentlemen, with stuff that other people labeled us with, if we are filling it with the history of our failures and not looking at the possibility of what can be and what we want to achieve, if we can't see it, we're not going to achieve it. So I ignite you today. I'm that little flame underneath your seat this morning, this afternoon. I want to be that little flame that says, what will you do differently tomorrow to achieve the results that you want to? Because as it was said, keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results is really just insane. So think about it. Write it down. Where are you going? What do you want? Affirm it for yourself. Believe it, see it, set it. You're going to have the opportunity to do goal setting today. Use that time for your own growth opportunity for your business because you have the power within you to get where you want to go. It's all about mindset. It's all about how you see it. And it's about being willing to stand in the face of it and go, okay, tide has changed. I don't have to believe the doom and gloom. I can actually focus over here and take it to a new direction. All right? So have a great afternoon. I encourage you all to be successful with who you are and where you're headed. And can I talk about what I'm offering later, or are we going to do that?
You can tell.
May I tell now really quickly and real quick and in a hurry? I have a mastermind group series. It's called Growth Strategies Mastermind. It's a fantastic little series that we bring successful business people together for 8 weeks, and we really go on an action-packed ride of building your plan to success and a sustainability plan to go along with it. So I've got something back. I do have a table here, and I've got new groups starting in April. And for the first time in months, I actually have openings for my Take Action Now coaching sessions, which, again, are just, I do things in short bursts. I'm not a long-term, long-lifer kind of coach. I want you to come with your action item. What are you working on? And let's get it done. Let's build the plan. So I've got a couple of openings for those Take Action Now coaching sessions. And I'm really excited that I have a new book, 52 Tips for Exquisite Self-Care for the Professional Woman. And I hope to have it here. I'd set the intention to have it here, and unfortunately, I got delayed, actually, but it's a good thing because I just found an error in it today, thanks to Anbo. And So it's going to print this week, and I am doing pre-sales on it. They're going to sell for $7. I'm actually doing pre-sales on it for $5, and then I'll send it to you with an audio file to go along with it if you order it today, which is my 10 things you can do to strengthen your business for the savvy entrepreneur. That would be you. So those are a couple of my offerings. I do have a table in the very back of the hall. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to talk about what we can do to build some growth strategies for you to not only thrive, but to just blow the doors off of where you're at, where you want to go. So congratulations, and I acknowledge each of you for being here today and taking time for your own personal growth.
Thank you, Tanya. I bet everybody should be revved up more than that. Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
Wow. Way to go.
So we're going to get that money. Maybe launching or growing your business takes a little extra money, and our next speaker is here to share some steps on how to get it. Sunira Bajshah joined Cascade Bank in 2005. She's now vice president and branch manager of the bank's Issaquah branch. With over 15 years' experience, Sunira's areas of expertise include business development, mortgages, as well as personal and business loans. Sunira serves her community as a member of the board of directors of the Samamish Chamber of Commerce, where she's also a resident in Samamish, and she has her master's degree in English literature. Today, she's going to share some tips on slashing your costs, stashing your cash, maximizing your earnings, and financing your business. Please welcome Sunira.
Thank you. We are in really tough economic times. 2 years into this financial crisis, all our retirements are down to half of what they were. Unemployment rate is the highest it's been. And the global economies are surviving the sharpest downturn in decades. You know, it's been estimated that out of the 8,000 banks that the country has, 1,000 of them may not make it. So, tough times. Now, in these times, the mistake a lot of people make is that they try to catch a falling knife. And when you do that, you're bound to get hurt. So, the one most important advice I have for everyone here is keep your cash. There are a lot of attractive opportunities out there. Businesses may be up for sale, the equipment, inventory, market front, you know, the storefront may be on the market. I just read a very interesting comment by a stock picker. His name is Peter Lynch. He said, bargains are so plentiful out there. It's, you know, you almost feel like a mosquito in a nudist colony. But that's true. And also, remember, this is a long, it's been a long recessionary period. 2009 is going to be about write-offs. So this is the year to save. You know, wait, don't rush, take your time. The other thing is, you know, most small businesses for the, you know, should have a line of credit. There's a lot of uncertainty in the market, a lot of strain on all businesses. The sales may be dropping, receivables may be out the door. In order to sustain yourself from all the volatility, in order to cushion and to protect your business, and in order not to be stuck over the next few months, one of the two things are very important: a large stash of cash or a line of credit. And the best time, as we all know, to qualify for credit is when you don't need it. If you have tons of money, if you, you know, don't need cash, lenders will be lining at your door. They probably want to give you cash. So just to talk about a little bit about what do vendors, you know, look for when they evaluate credit. Number one, and this is the most important one, is character. What has your repayment history been like in the past? It is never just about credit, but lenders ask themselves, does this make business sense? Will this loan be repaid? Of the various criteria, character and integrity are the most important considerations for any lender. Number two is the capacity to repay the loan. And so lenders want to see that the business is profitable, that you're watching your expenses, that you're putting most of the profits that you earn back in the business and making it grow, building equity in your business. So really expect downturns, plan for it. That's very, very important. Number three is collateral. Now, collateral is important in case the primary source of repayment fails. And real estate, accounts receivable, equipment are all some examples of collateral. Think of an analogy of a lock and a key. The key goes in the lock and it turns. The tumblers all have to align for the lock to open. In these tough times, banks have just added a few more tumblers. But once they align, the lock will open. So, you know, you just have to plan for everything here. Five important things to know before you go for credit. One, the health of your credit is very important. How good or how bad your personal credit is can influence the bank in lending money. Number two you should do is order your free annual credit report from annualcreditreport.com. Law allows you to get one copy of your credit report once every 12 months. And that's one from each of the three credit reporting companies, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. Review your credit report when you have it. Make sure that it's accurate, up-to-date, and complete, and has no errors or omissions. And this is very important. If there are errors, make sure you address them, because the credit score is very important. Now is also the time to pull out your original business plan and update it. Every business plan tells the bank a story about your business. The better your banker can understand you, the better they can assist you. Have a vision, very important. Know where you're going, know where you're taking your businesses, and be able to communicate that. What are your goals? Now, communicating the purpose of your loan to the business banker is very important also. We want to know what we are funding. Is the lender funding your growth or the losses? So again, being able to communicate it is very important. I would suggest, like an attorney going into a courtroom, just know everything about your business and be able to communicate it to everyone. Banks do loans. Even today, banks approve loans, lenders approve loans, every day. One thing, though, is every lender is very cautious. Each loan is evaluated on its own merit, but again, you can get a loan. Everyone can get a loan, as long as everything's aligned. So now that you have savings, how do you go about maximizing your earnings? Economy is bad, so again, survival is very important. Preserve your capital. Most experts recommend stashing enough, money for 3 to 6 months of your expenses. That's tough, but with discipline and patience, something that can be done. Maximize your earnings on the money that you save. A lot of people they receive the statements every month from the bank, and file it away. Next time when you see your statements, look at the interest your account's earning. Don't let your money sit in 0.05% somewhere in a big bank. Look around, do research. Even in these days, 1.75 on a checking account is very doable. And there are different instruments that you can put your money in, and that could be certificate of deposits, money market account, checking accounts. But again, if you've saved money, earn the most on it. And a few things about cutting your costs. As a business owner, I know you are very busy prospecting clients, bringing in new business, managing your employees. It's so easy to forget to make a transfer, to go to the bank to make a deposit. As a banker, I see businesses raking up hundreds of dollars in overdraft fees. And this, at $30 a pop, the backdoor leak in overdraft fees can substantially affect your bottom line. Use banking services, use online banking. You know, make sure if you have the funds available, don't be remiss in transferring the funds. You know, that is very important. Also, get a line of credit if you can. There's a fee associated with line of credit on the checking account, but it's much better than overdraft protection on the $30 overdraft fees, late fees, and if a credit card check bounces, your interest rate will go right up on those. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of things that happen if one check bounces. Not even, you know, to mention the embarrassment we all face if a check bounces. And this is very important. Develop a rapport with your banker. Believe me, truthfully, we do have a heart. You know, we understand how tough the economy is. And another thing, we can tell when a person is a chronic abuser of an account to a business owner who's genuinely kind. And, you know, we will work with you as much as possible. So, you know, really very important. Also evaluate your interest rates. I mean, the rates are down. It's a great time to refinance your mortgage. Great time to lower interest rate on car loans, maybe, credit cards. One good website I can recommend is lowcards.com. This website compares almost 1,100 credit cards. So look into it. You may find something there. Take control of your finances. That's really what it all boils down to. Tough times require tough action. In closing, I just want to say, this recession, like any other before it in history, will pass. Don't allow the fear to overcome your optimistic desire for a compelling future. Action feeds optimism, so take action and the results will follow. Good luck.
Thank you, Samira. Those were lots of good tips in there. Thank you. Okay, your business is launched. Now it's time to spread the word. Our next panelist is going to tell you how. Publicist Nancy Judden is fiercely committed to helping business owners everywhere be seen, heard, and celebrated through the power of, catch this, free publicity. Through her do-it-yourself publicity blog at www.mainstreetmediasavvy, there's that word again, mainstreetmediasavvy.com. She shares tips, resources, inspiration, and success stories almost daily to keep you engaged in your own publicity efforts. Today, she's going to empower and inspire everyone in the room to get into the do-it-yourself publicity game today. Your messages can be heard, you can attract more perfect clients, and you can enjoy more success with greater ease with publicity in your marketing tool chest. Please welcome Nancy Judden to the microphone.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. I thank the Sammamish Chamber for extending this lovely invitation and for you spending your half day with us today. And hopefully you're going to be leaving here really inspired with some great things that you can do to build your business. I always like to start my talks with three silly questions that aren't really very silly after all. Who here wants to sell more stuff, more products, and have more clients? Show of hands. Very good. Who wants to set themselves apart in lasting and differentiating ways so that they can be more of what they want and set themselves apart from the competition? Very good. Who has all the money they need to hire the people they want to get the job done? I love that question because it's so right on the money. I've been running a PR firm for 8 years, and I have very happy clients, and I love what I do. But when I come to meetings where there are a lot of small business owners, I'm very dismayed because people say, oh, God, I can't afford a PR firm, or I can't do PR. Or there's all these words that have nothing to do with can that really aren't really very true. And And then there's always that person that says, oh yeah, I hired a PR firm once, I spent $200,000 and I'm still not sure what I got. Oy. I don't want to have any of that. That was really inspiration for me to create a business where I could actually help small business owners who didn't have a lot of money but did have the desire to roll up their sleeves and get to work. So I'm going to give you some examples today of people that I've worked with that have really done all the work themselves to be seen, heard, and celebrated in the local media, in the national media, and beyond, so that they could have more success with greater ease and get on with their lives. Does that sound good?
Yes.
And in all these examples, I'm going to share with you certain concepts that you can apply to your own business so you can run right out of here and go pitch the Sammamish
Review
and the Newcastle News and all those other things. So I'm going to start with this one. Since we started with purses, it's just so funny that we're doing this because, you know, purses. I actually dressed to match the bags today. You see this handy-dandy thing? It's called a Zook Hook, and it's got a little jewel on it. And it's got a mirror on it so you can check your teeth when you're at the restaurant. And they even come in all these different jewel tones. And then there's also ones with little picture frames and all this kind of stuff. It's really great. So the woman who owns this company, Alexis Mizell, would go places and people say, I want one of those. And you know what she says to me? Yeah, I want to sell a lot of those. And so most of the time you say she wants to sell more of those, well, she should buy an ad. And when I saw that, I thought, oh, there's a story there. And she looked at me like I had like six eyes or four legs, or, you know, some strange thing. Like, what's with you? You're from some other planet. I said, no, let me tell you why this is newsworthy. We're in this really challenging economy. And yet the Wall Street Journal reported that even in these difficult times, women are still spending $3,000 on a Hermes bag or more. So big money getting spent on handbags in these very challenging times. Well, then I went to Google and I looked for purse hangers to see what kind of news I could find about what these things are. And I found this report that was from health.com that actually was reported on the Today Show. And it basically said that the bottom of your purse is the 12th germiest place on earth. And you would really be wise to keep it away from the floor, any of the unsavory places you go, the airport, because all kinds of things accumulate on the bottom of your purse, and then you touch the purse, and then you use your hands. Did I get my point across here? So we have a challenging economy, and people are still spending big bucks on purses. It's like this perfect storm. So basically, the headline for my pitch was, is your purse making you sick? There's actually a solution to that problem. And oh, by the way, there's a local business owner who's created this thriving practice helping people solve this problem. Well, what do you know? But she was a resident of Newcastle, Washington. So we started with the Newcastle News. And we read the Newcastle News, and we found the business reporter who wrote for the Newcastle News and said, did you know that there's a business owner in Newcastle who is solving a very important problem in challenging times? And oh, by the way, these things are less than 20 bucks. And Mother's Day is coming and Christmas is coming. And isn't this just the kind of thing that people want to read about their own backyard, someone solving a unique problem? And you know what he said? He said yes. So they had this wonderful meeting in a coffee shop, and she displayed her purse just like this. He wrote a wonderful story. It first showed up in the Sammamish Review, which is owns the Newcastle News. Well, how cool is that? How many people live in Sammamish that have fancy purses that they probably have one in every color? So it ran in the Sammamish News, and then a few weeks later it ran in the Newcastle News, and then I gave a publicity half-day workshop in Tacoma where Dan Volpel was there, and I actually told this story from the podium. Well, Dan Volpel was so excited about Alexis and Mizell's story that he wrote a story in the Tacoma News Tribune, which then inspired me to send one of these Zook Hooks with a picture frame with Mimi Kirsch's photo within it, and that she is the publisher of Alaska Airlines magazine. And I just happened to know that they were doing a holiday gift guide. And I put Mimi's picture in here, and I sent it to her by messenger. And I said, Mimi, don't you think, given the holiday gift season upon us, that everyone in the airport needs to protect their purse, ensure their security, and do something thoughtful and personal without having to break the bank? Don't you think this is the perfect thing for the holiday gift guide? I'll follow up with you in a week unless I hear from you first. Mark those words. And so a week goes by and you're thinking, she's going to call me, right? She didn't call me. Oh, my heart is broken. No, it's not. I know it's a great idea. So I send her a little note. I said, hey, Mimi, just checking in to see what you thought about that idea. Do you think this has a perfect place in the holiday gift guide? She says, yes, it absolutely does.
Ka-ching, ka-ching, hallelujah. Right around then, the whole thing runs in the Last Caroline gift guide in November, and my client is a very, she runs a very small business, and I'm not seeing very much of her, and she's coming up for air. She says, I just had Christmas in September, will you stop? Anymore. So, that's a local businesswoman. Okay, another idea. Alex Rodriguez was in the news in a negative reference. He was using performance-enhancing drugs. Horrible. One of my clients is a sports hypnotist, and he helps people achieve remarkable performance with the power of the mind. So he was following Jim Moore, who is a columnist for the Seattle PI. And he said, I've been following your column, and I've been reading what you've been writing about Alex Rodriguez, and I'm wondering if your readers would be interested to know that there's a local expert who's helping local athletes from gymnastics to swimming to bowling to you name it, he's doing it, achieve extraordinary personal bests in their sport without using drugs. Don't you think the readers would want to know? I'm a hypnotist. This is what I do. This is the success I've had. Here's three or four examples of how this is playing out in real life in our own backyard. Do you think the readers would like to know more about that? What do you think he said?
Yes.
He said yes. And he landed on the front page of the Seattle PI with a big, huge picture above the fold, and it didn't stop there, because that day he got three invitations to paid speaking engagements and four new clients. But that wasn't even all, because guess what else happened? Evening Magazine from King 5 saw the story, and they gave him a call because they visited his website and his online press kit was in order. And his story was good, and he had a good headshot, and he looked like he had his pants on. The last thing you want to do is get all set to go and have the media come to call and have them go to your website and say, well, you don't have a website, and your picture looks like you had your husband take it in front of the refrigerator, and you really look like you don't really have it together. He had it together because he took my advice. So now he's going to be on Evening Magazine. So isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
And so he can take that Evening Magazine story and he can post it to YouTube and he can put it on his website and he can do all kinds of things with it. What did he pay to get that? $0. How cool is that? You can't pay for that. Okay, another example. I love HGTV.
Yep.
I do. I Twitter, wherever you are, I do that. But I usually offer useful tips and advice to help people help themselves, so I don't feel like I'm wasting anybody's time. But I actually say on my Twitter profile that I love chocolate, my golden retriever, and HGTV. So isn't it wonderful that the Seattle Design Center came to me and said, we want to hire you to represent us with the Ion Design 2009 event with Vern Yep. He's coming to Seattle on April 25th. And I thought, oh my God, the law of attraction at work. I got my best, the perfect client. I would pay them to do this work. But here's an example of how we are learning the media. Do you think it's interesting that someone with a national reputation is coming to our fair city to empower people who love interior design, to do environmentally correct design, to freshen their spaces without spending a bundle, to make the right choices, do you think people would be interested in that? So what we did is we sent a press release over PR Web, because we are actually selling tickets to this event online. So PR Web is a wire service that actually appeals to people who are savvy about online ordering. So we placed this press release about this event over PR Web, and then in addition to doing what I call, that's the easy button, sending the press release and saying, come on over. But the other thing that I did is I thought, who would be on my top 10 list of people I would like to write about this event? And I thought, I want the Puget Sound Business Journal's Patty Payne to write about this, because she loves to write to meet with celebrities, and she sits down with them, and I was envisioning, because I was intentional, that I wanted a picture of Vern Yip with 3/4 of the page, I want it to be like this. So in not just relying on the press release and saying go, I sent a personal email to Patty. And I said, Patty, wouldn't it be fabulous for you to meet face-to-face with Vern Yip to empower the upskill decision makers at the Puget Sound Business Journal about these important trends as they're unfolding, even a difficult time? We're going to have this person of national importance in our own backyard. Wouldn't you love to meet with him? And what did she say?
Yes.
Yes. And not only did she say yes, but Robin Daly at Daly's Paint said yes, and she writes a column for 425 magazine. She also writes a column that goes to one of these
community newspapers. It's all over Seattle, everywhere. I also got another blogger from examiner.com to say yes. I mean, everybody that I, it wasn't just sending the press release and just waiting for things to come. It was me making a list of the 10 places I wanted to be and asking and inviting them to be among the very few that would get a few minutes with Burnyip. You see how powerful that is? In the next couple of weeks, you're going to be seeing Burnyip everywhere, and you're going to wonder, well, who was responsible for that? And if you'd like to go, I'm giving away tickets today. They're only $10. But if you've been to the Seattle Design Center, I mean, they've got $50,000 dining room chairs that I don't even know if our rear quarters are worthy. So then I want to tell you another example about how this doesn't have to be hard. Another client of mine is Seattle Chocolate Company, and they make what happiness tastes like. And anytime a new client hires me, I always say, well, what do you want? What's the perfect media hit for you? And she said, we want Oprah. Okay. Good. Good. What else would you like? Because I can work on a lot of other things while we're working on Oprah. Well, here's the thing. I bought this subscription to a service called Gift List Media, giftlistmedia.com. It's about $500, but it gives me the people who handle all the holiday gift guides at every major national magazine on earth, and it tells me what their phone number is and where I need to send their email and what they're looking for and all that kind of stuff. So the very first day my subscription was activated, I went searching for someone at O Magazine. Well, it's kind of like looking for a needle in the haystack, but I found somebody, and I took my shot. And I knew enough about Oprah because I have every Oprah magazine that was ever written and it saved it. So, I mean, I love her. And so I knew that making a pitch about Oprah loves things that are good for women and children. She loves things that are magnificently packaged. She loves things that taste really great. She loves things that make a difference in the world. Well, this Extreme Dark Chocolate Truffle Bar, 100% of the profits are donated to women's cancer charities. And it's a beautiful thing, and women can treat themselves to this chocolate bar wherever they live, work, and shop. It is what happiness tastes like. It's what we need to lift our mood. I wrote this amazing little pitch. I did it in 15 minutes, and I went and walked the dog. I thought, oh, well, I did a good job. Good for me. Same day, Hearst Magazine called me back. And they said, we'd like your chocolates. We're having a tasting tomorrow at 1 p.m. And we made it into the magazine. Okay, so summarizing. How many minutes did I do?
You're good.
One minute more.
Okay, good. Okay. Don't just throw a press release out there and wait for the Red Sea to part. Make a direct pitch to the publication in your backyard or in your trade or in your national media where you want to be and make your pitch. If you want to send a press release, go ahead. But be sure that you make a personal approach. Make it personal. If you treat a press release like an administrative task, it feels like an administrative task on the part of the person receiving it. When they know that you have seen, heard, and celebrated who they are as a reporter and what they do, and that you're bringing it to them first so that they can have first crack at it, do you think they're going to be interested? Or if you tried to do that like an administrative, do you think maybe Kirsch was disappointed to get a zip hook with her picture on it? I saw, heard, and celebrated that decision maker, and the rewards came back to me tenfold. The same thing will happen for you. Now, I teach workshops called the Publicity Half-Day Workshop. I teach winning bio writing workshop. I also have a publicity toolkit that people rave about. For less than, if you've got $10 to spend or $300 to spend, you can get the help you need with me as your guide. So here's my special offer for today. I am giving away a Prosperity teacup that is the art of success while drinking tea, because we're beating recessionary times. Anyone who today or this week decides to sign up for a workshop or come to one of, or buy my publicity toolkit will get this as a special gift. And I hope that you will enjoy it and remember how you can take control and thrive in challenging times. It's your choice. The other thing I wanted to say is that I can talk about this all till I'm blue in the face. But one thing I know for sure is that there's people who are going to listen, and then there's people who are going to ponder, and there's people who are going to do something. So my question then becomes, who wants 147 powerful ways to profit for people to be? Who's sitting on that chair? up. Yeah. You got to be willing to get out of your chair and take some action. Now, not only is she going to get her 147 powerful ways to profit for free publicity, but she has two tickets that are going to take her and a friend to Ion Design 2009 so she can get inspired for spring. And she's going to be so excited that she knows about free publicity. So here's the thing. Who else is going to get into action? I've got tons of goodies. I have wonderful handouts that you can come and avail yourself to, and I have more chocolate in my booth. So now that I'm done here today, who's going to come and see me?
Well, thank you, Nancy.
Thank
okay.
you.
You've taken all that good advice. Now you're banking a little money. What are you going to do with it? Next, we have one of Samantha's best community leaders, Janet Williams of Edward Jones. As a financial advisor, she helps clients to understand and make sense of the investment options available today. Janet is one of the Wealth Managers of the Year in Seattle Magazine. She's a member of the Sammamish Chamber, past president of her Kiwanis Club, and current president of the Providence Marion Wood Foundation Board of Directors. And for all of that good community work, she's been nominated 3 times for a Sammy Award. How about that? For her community service. Today, Janet will be discussing top financial issues of 2009 and how to move from crisis to confidence as you plan ahead to build your wealth. Let's wrap it up with some important advice from Janet Williams.
Down at East Lake Sammamish Parkway by 7-Eleven and Karate West, so I know you guys see them popping up everywhere. I became a financial advisor because I'm very passionate about helping people like you reach your goals. I also love to see that happen, and I love to educate, and so that is why I became a financial advisor. I get kind of frustrated when I meet people, especially women, who say, "My husband takes care of that." So what happens if he doesn't come home tonight? Let's make sure that you have the education you need so that you can move forward with it and not feel overwhelmed and don't know what to do. A few of the top issues I'll be covering include our current environment, the financial crisis, the recession, and some really good news. How to move from crisis to confidence. I know that the market is making some people pretty nervous, and I really don't blame you. All you see is this negative input every single day about the stock market, financial crisis, the recession. It just goes on and on and on because it's really not good news to say, hey, you know, here's the bright spots. This is what you can look for. We've seen trusted companies going bankrupt. That's a little bit scary. Consolidation in the financial industry. We have government interventions. The collapse and mergers of so many of these financial companies is a little bit unusual. That's kind of scaring us a little bit more. The collapse and mergers of so many, and the current environment is volatile, so that's also scary. During times like these, it's really important to remember when you buy a long-term investment, you must assume you will have short-term setbacks. So stay focused on what you control. Instead of predictions, invest in the basis of principles. A trusted financial advisor can help you decide what tools and strategies to use to reach your goals. They also can help you stay on track and not make emotional decisions, which is what so many people do that really messes up the whole thing. You got to have somebody there to sound off and help you make the right decisions and not emotional decisions. You know, because panic is not an effective investment strategy. People are also talking about how long the recession is going to last. But remember, you know, we've been through 11 recessions before, since 1945, and we have come back stronger. 3/4 of the top 50 economists believe the downturn will end in 2009. 10 of the most pessimistic ones expect it to turn around by the end of 2009. Is this the worst we've ever seen? Feels like it, doesn't it? But it's not. In the 1980s, unemployment was at 10.8%. Inflation, 14.8%. And the prime rate was at 21.5%. In January of 2009, unemployment was at 7.6%. Inflation, 0.01%. And the prime rate was at 3.3%. Interest rates are at historical lows. You've got to go see Samara. The U.S. economy has grown 86% of the time since 1957 and 91% of the time since 1980. So our long-term objectives haven't changed. Out of 73, and I know I'm throwing a lot of numbers here, but it's really important. Out of 73 10-year rolling periods, since 1926, there were only 12 periods where the market returned less than 6%, each of which was followed by a much better period. In fact, the next 10-year period usually returned about 13.14%, and the next 20-year average was 14.82%. When confidence is low, they tend to have higher returns the following year. So you guys are feeling the confidence lifting up a little bit in the markets and out there in the everything. So this is the time. You want to stay calm, invest in quality, maintain a long-term perspective, and don't own investments today that you would not own tomorrow in a recession. I hope that this information helps you to provide some balance to the negative information that we read each and every day. As you listen to these short-term concerns in the market, the media, and on the news, keep in mind that as a long-term investor, you're in a much better position to ride out markets ups and downs. There are still good investments out there, and there are options to help preserve your principal and options that will still grow. So you need to get it into some really good stuff. You need to look for the opportunities today, because there's a lot of them. You're saying businesses are for sale, homes are really a great deal. But so are a lot of stocks, you know? We know companies that we all trust and we all believe that will be there tomorrow, you know? Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson. They're still paying dividends. They're still doing okay, and they're on sale. It's like the Nordstrom shoe sale. Come and get more than one. What I would like you to take away from our time today is that the financial crisis, the recession, and any political uncertainty are short-term issues. Recessions are usually very short. They begin and end without any warning. History has shown us that the markets soar at the end of recessions. And did you guys know that the markets start to recover 6 to 8 months prior to the recession ending? So if we're looking at the end of 2009 for the recession to end, now's the time. In order to have a clear outlook on your future, you need to use this time to look for opportunities, but your first step should be to evaluate where you are today. Only then can you begin to set clear and measurable goals, set realistic expectations, and stay focused on what you can control. You must review your investments regularly. Meet with your financial advisor to review your portfolio at least once a year, or I'd be happy to meet with you and give you a second opinion on the free portfolio review. If you need to get started, maybe you haven't started things yet, well, now's the time. You can just come in and see me, and we'll get us exactly what you need for your specific situation and a strategy put in place. I do have a table right outside to the right. It's just right there. And there's some great brochures that you should pick up. This one is Moving from Crisis to Confidence. It gives you a little bit more history and really makes you feel a lot better about what's going on and knowing that it's going to end. This is a great sheet that gives you the 5 steps on how to reach your goals and where you should be starting and where you should be ending. And it's just as a really good outline that can help you. Thank you very much. I think I said everything.
Okay, we got about 5 minutes here for some questions. Questions. Here we go.
This is for Samira. And so I have a question for you. When you go back as a business loan, how much do they want to see
just basically go on your own scenario? I'm sorry. We would actually just look at the big picture. We just want to make sure that you're not taking all the profit out and having fun with it and not putting anything back in your business.
Okay, so that if it's not 100% profit back in?
You know, business owners, and we do recognize that, cannot put 100% profit in the back in the business. They do need something to live by, you know, expenses for the employee salaries, what have you.
Another question?
You get a pink pig.
Okay. Are we taking a break or are we doing a raffle?
I'll be up with raffles.
More raffles.
To tell you what's going on.